Hello, everyone, and welcome to the I Hear Design podcast, your source for interior design and architecture news, interviews, and opinions. I'm your host, Robert Nieminen, and I'm glad you're tuning in to today's episode because I recently returned from the CERSAI International Exhibition of Ceramic Tile in Bologna, Italy, held at the end of September as part of a large delegation of press, interior designers, and architects from across North America to take part in what was arguably the largest trade show on ceramic tile and bathroom furniture and finishes I've ever seen. With well over 600 exhibiting companies and nearly 100,000 attendees from around the world, there was so much to see and take in that I had to invite a few of my fellow travelers along for this episode to help put the event into perspective and talk about the trends they saw on the show floor, as well as their thoughts about ceramic tile as a surfacing solution for today's commercial interiors projects. Joining me in this episode are a few of the amazing people I met during my trip to CERSAI, including Janae Carter, designer and project manager at Ariel Fox Design, Matthew Goodrich, founder and principal at hospitality design firm Goodrich, and Cara Seaton, interior designer at Vancouver-based architecture and design firm Kaycian. I had such a great time catching up with this crew, reminiscing about all things Italy and ceramic tile, of course. If you've never attended the CERSAI trade show, you'll probably want to after listening in to our conversation and hearing all about the sights we took in during our trip. So sit back, grab a glass of vino or Negroni, perhaps, a new favorite of mine, and join us as we recap the CERSAI 2023 experience. Hi, Janae, Cara, Matt, it's good to see you all again. Welcome to the podcast.
Awesome, thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Great. Well, I know it's been a few weeks since we all made it back from the CERSAI show in Italy. It's great to catch up with you again, and I'm looking forward to getting your perspectives on all of it now that we've had time to recover and process, or I don't know, maybe not so much. It just seems like things have just gone by so fast. It's been a blur. But before we dive into our conversation, we should probably just do some short introductions for our listeners that may not be familiar with you. So, Cara, why don't you go first? Just tell us what you do, where you're located, anything else you want to share with us.
Sure. I'm Cara. I am an interior designer based in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and I work at Kaycian Architecture, and I've been in the industry for about 10 years now, and yeah, touch multiple market sectors. So this tile show was excellent and very beneficial to visit.
Very cool. Okay. Janae, how about you?
Hi, my name's Janae. I am based in LA. I work at Ariel Fox Design. And I work as a project manager, and I've been in the field for 6 years. And this was my first international trade show, so it was a big deal for me as well.
Cool. Okay, great. Well, how about you, Matt? Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do.
Sure. I'm Matt. I have a firm in New York called Goodrich, and we focus mostly on hospitality, hotel, and restaurant design. This is my first time coming to the show, and it was really cool, really interesting to do it with a group of designers and also just sort of meet everybody that was in the delegation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you all share my sentiments about the trip to CERSAI. I mean, it was such an amazing experience and full of a lot of great memories, a lot of great food, wine, architecture, and of course, tile. I mean, my goodness, I don't remember ever seeing so much tile in my life. Am I right? So much in one place, yeah, which was
slabs
awesome.
Slabs and slabs.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it was my first time actually at CERSAI as well, and it sounded like it was for everybody else. But so kicking off the conversation here, I mean, what were your expectations going into it? Like, did you have any preconceived notions about ceramic tile, what you were going to see? And if so, you know, what were they? Who wants to jump in first?
I'll jump in.
Awesome.
I've been to a few trade shows locally, and you know, where there's some manufacturers that represent some of their products, and they bring a few of the latest and greatest. And I have to admit, that was kind of the scale I was anticipating. I was very surprised that it was a much larger scale, buildings and buildings filled with tile, not just one large show space. So yeah, the scale surprised me a lot. 15 halls, I think, and you
right.
know. Multiple Costcos, large each.
I think that's a good sense of scale for people that haven't been. Matt, what about you? Did you any preconceived notions you were going over there?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Scale really surprised me. I my like theme song is Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I'm a very FOMO person. So I imagine I'm going to see every vendor, every, you know, every presentation. And it was just so massive. It really was impossible to do that. So it was kind of adjusting expectations and then trying to figure out, okay, what would be important to see? What's here that I wasn't expecting was here? Mm-hmm. I think the other piece I was just really interested in is how much there was not just the product, but also a lot about technical solutions, a lot about tools and application and installation, which I was not expecting at all. I was thinking it was really just going to be product. And so to see how much ceramics has evolved to be like systems, almost architectural and interior, was really fascinating for me.
Yeah, sure. Janae, what about you?
I think I kind of had the opposite, where I felt like it was going to be a huge place. My company has gone to like Milan before to see the furniture there. So I was kind of anticipating it would be a similar size and lots of walking. And I was probably more concerned about like how exhausting the days were going to be on top of being jet lagged probably.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it was just kind of like making sure I was pacing myself and like mentally being there, because, you know, if you're sleep deprived and information is coming at you, like it can just be really overwhelming and you're just kind of I went through that, but I don't know if I remember everything. And, you know, you take a lot of pictures to kind of remind you, oh, yes, I saw this.
That's right.
And I think also I went in kind of maybe a little skeptical. Like, I've been to other trade shows in the U.S. and seen tile and slabs, and you're kind of just like, well, what more could there be, or how can they be different? And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to continue learning and being like, wow, like this is how it's done in other places. And sizing was something that was, I was hearing about how they have really large format tile. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, maybe in like multifamily, which is what my company does, we don't necessarily use that very much there, it was still very interesting to hear why they have these sizes. And maybe I could pitch that to clients as well, because they're, for them, it was all about, you don't want to see grout line. You want to have almost kind of like a plastered wall or wall covering in a way on your tile. And that was really unique to me to think of it that way and to pitch it to a client and be like, look at this beautiful tile. Don't you want to have like no seams on it if you can? Mm-hmm. And so just taking that away from that was
for sure
really insightful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think I was impressed too with the, you know, as far as like the booths, I mean, typically I think trade shows here in North America, you get some larger booths, but I mean, the expansive, almost showroom style, I mean, they were just so big, some of them, and just really, really impressive as far as like, I think installations and kind of showing the product. Almost, you know, some of them almost felt like, you know, applications. They had all kinds of vignettes that were just really well designed and a lot of Instagrammable photos, you know, that like, you know, again, to your point about taking pictures. I mean, so yeah, I was super impressed by that too. And I think, if I remember correctly, there was, upwards of 600 different exhibitors, and just massive. So that I thought was really cool. Were there any particular trends like from the show that you noticed, or, you know, anything specific that captured your attention, your imagination, creativity? Like, wow, like this really kind of was a standout, like as far overall? Yeah. All right. Janae, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I noticed a lot of like floral designs in multiple stalls. And on day one, when I saw a few of them, I was like, oh, this is great, because there is a vendor called like 41042, I think, that I discovered a few years ago. And I was really excited to see like designs similar to that in the trade show, because I was like, yes, maybe this would be like easier to get in the US, because it was really hard to spec them. So I was really excited. And then by day two, I had seen 15 other vendors with similar designs or carrying the same things or different. And I was just kind of like, oh, this is getting oversaturated a little bit. And it's also very kind of trendy in a way. Like, I'm not sure in how many years some of the designs, especially like how those will work. I think for ones that they're realistic imagery of plants, like I think those would work really well, especially for multifamily, for clients who maybe don't want real plants, but don't like faux plants. Like, that could be something, and there's no maintenance. But then if you have some of these like more artistic florals, you know, maybe you're now getting into a box of where you can apply it and how many years it'll be used before it gets ripped out.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in the next question. So let's not riff on that too much yet, because I do have I want to talk about that specifically. But Cara, what about you? Did you see anything specific trend wise or?
Well, because I was so blown away, a lot of tiles that I think are often maybe, I don't want to say disregarded, but often maybe value engineered out of a project or something like that. So I don't get to work with very often. The commercially produced but hand done look tiles with the, you know, variances and little inconsistencies of color. There was a lot of those, and they were beautiful, like very, very saturated colors in some instances that were really nice to see, as well as these really large monolithic thin tile slabs, but done in a very organic lime wash pattern almost. Mm-hmm. Saw those a lot, kind of popping up here or there with different vendors. Gigachair was one of the ones that I thought was very well done. And it's nice to see not a flat color. It has a little bit of life to it. And a lot of these manufacturers and vendors, the patterning seemed to evoke like a deserty, I mean, I get like an Arizona, Sierra, mm-hmm. like Sierra Nevada, Joshua Tree vibe kind of.
Yes.
So, you know, sandy colors, lots of terracottas.
Yes.
Which I am very drawn to. So yeah, it was a lot of warmth. The trend seemed to be a lot of warmth and natural patterning.
For sure. For sure. Matt, what did you notice?
I noticed this just so much focus on a lot of the exhibitors we met with and saw, like this printing. And I think both of you mentioned it in the things that you noticed. And there's sort of the version of printing these images that sometimes feels hand done, or, you know, there could feel like there was imperfection and warmth. But there was a lot of simulation of stone, and it's gotten really good. It's really quite incredible how many types of stones they can create. And, you know, the level of the photography or the image making is very sophisticated. But I actually felt like from an application standpoint, we saw so much of that, that I was more attracted to people that were using that printing technique. Both they have machines now that can both print and texture the tile at the same time. Right. So then they feel much more like something artisan, or they feel a little bit more expressive. And so I was more attracted to those. One of my favorites was a manufacturer named Sodai, I think, that made these tiles that look kind of like different types of wallpaper. And they were very consciously showing the printing and the texture and the relief, not simulate something else, but almost using the printing technique for as an end to itself, almost like woodblock printing on fabric or something. And so, and with really great, crazy colors, really unusual colorways. So I found myself, the state of the art is obviously really, really good in printing, but when it was simulating material, I was less excited than when it was sort of being used for more artistic effect and sort of taking the printing. That was kind of what was driving the design in some way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I noticed a lot of that with the texturing too. I think that was like they're getting so much more sophisticated with that, which was really cool to see. And then too, the other thing that kind of popped to me was the mosaics, you know, because we saw a lot of those where they're just doing even like large mural type of things, you know, with the little mosaics where you stand back and you get to see this like really kind of interesting image. And so, there was a lot of that was cool. And then even some of the hand painted tiles, I think there was a couple that we went into that was, you know, they were actually in the process of sort of painting and then replicating.
Those were it was beautiful.
Absolutely. And then there was the, I wish I could remember the name of the company with the guy, the chef that was cooking on the tile stovetop with the crazy saxophone player that was playing alongside.
I didn't go to that one.
You didn't see that one?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. Yeah.
I don't remember the name either, Robert, but it was like a porcelain top, countertop that had induction under it. So this guy's cooking all this pasta, and then there was someone playing Kenny G original in the background.
I think that also just speaks to how massive this place was, because I never heard any like, you know, saxophone, never saw like someone cooking.
Yeah.
Oh man, there was like a live
demonstration and concert at the same time. It was amazing. Cooking demonstration. It was awesome. So I want to go back to the subject that Janae, you brought up. So one of the press conferences we sat in on was about sustainability. And Matt, I know you and I had a conversation about this at one point. I think it was when we were at the Tile Factory. But I was struck with the idea, you know, about the incredibly long life cycle of tile, which I think is about 50 to 75 years, if I'm not mistaken, and how that's sort of diametrically opposed to the incredibly short life cycle of interior renovations, right? Which we're, what are we at, 7 to 10 years?
Right.
And again, to some of your points, you know, you talked about these trendy patterns that we saw, you know, like the large botanicals that are sort of on trend with the biophilic design thing that we're seeing. But, you know, there's just this question of like, if the trendy stuff's going to be out of vogue in a few years, you know, as designers, you know, I'm curious what your thought process is behind responsibly specifying a product like tile, knowing that it's going to most likely outlive its aesthetic appeal. Can you ultimately future-proof interiors? I mean, like, how do we solve this problem of short life cycles, you know, with products that have much longer longevity? And I know that's kind of like a huge question we could probably spend an entire podcast talking about, but I'd love to get your impressions on that. And Matt, since you and I were kind of chatting about it, maybe if you want to take that first, then I'll give Cara and Janae a sec to get some thoughts together.
Think that sure.
we were lucky enough to sit through a panel that was all about kind of the environmental, not benefits, but the environmental desirability of ceramic tile versus other materials. And we were really excited about it. And then we looked down at the floor of the room we were in, and it was sort of like a strange, dated looking flooring. And so it was sort of thinking like, oh, and I've thought about this so much since we talked about it, Robert, because I think we tend to, especially when you're in the trade show environment, you're looking for what's cool, what's different, what's new, what have I not seen before as a designer. You're trying to be, you know, find something cool and different. But we were sort of talking about, what if we thought about it differently? If this material can last longer than many of the other materials we use, should we have sort of a different approach as designers to implementing tile? Like, if it can sit in its place and be maintained for 50 years, maybe that becomes a more neutral or timeless or receding, you know, finish. And we look to other places for the parts that will be updated more in line with their, you know, how long those materials last. And I don't know, I wrestle with it so much because I was excited by the you know, really beautiful, warm terracotta lake tiles that you were talking about, and excited by the floral patterns. And as a designer, I want to use them all, but I don't see, and I think you got on it right away, Janae, about this. It's like, will that last for even 7 years, you know, in terms of the style? It's a paradox, I think.
Yeah.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think, like, if we look at certain interior elements that we know will last, like I'm looking at structural columns right now. If we clad structural columns in a tile, well, that generally speaking, you know, isn't going to change throughout the years. Flooring of lobbies, of corridors, things like that generally aren't being touched. But as soon as you get into tenant suites, every tenant's going to want to put their own touch on the interior, and that's where you get this high turnover rate. So I think you're very right. If we start looking at things that are more timeless in terms of finish, in terms of pattern, in terms of the graphic, you know, certain stone colors tend to last a little bit longer than other stone colors, we might see less of a material turnover. And I know a lot of the manufacturers that we saw, they have interior systems as well as exterior systems, right? The, you know, we're seeing more and more the thicker tiles on a pedestal system, mm-hmm. where you can actually, you know, take those tiles away later. You could replace mm-hmm. that tile if you want, but the tiles themselves haven't been damaged. They aren't glued down. They're not chipped up when you do the demolition or the change. I don't know if there's a way of doing some similar installation inside, if it's a dry mm-hmm. installation, so that should a tenant want to flip over a material, or if base building decides they want to change, it's something that isn't damaged and destroyed. It can be reused mm-hmm. elsewhere or resold for another yeah. use.
Yeah, for sure. Janae, any thoughts on that too?
very deep question. I definitely, you know, agree with Matt and Cara. Like, you go to these events and you're looking for what's new, what's coming down the line. And I agree, like, maybe we should think a little deeper and go, okay, well, are these new things going to last? And I also agree with Cara, like, when we're installing flooring, we try to avoid using white or light colors because we know our clients are going to be like, this is a pain to clean. And, you know, if it gets put in, they're definitely ripping it out very quickly. And so kind of keeping in mind, okay, what colors hide dirt better and not gonna, you know, scuff up as easily. Some clients really love through body because if they do get damaged, then they're still the same color and then they're not having to replace them as quickly. They can kind of leave it there, which is also a good thing. But yeah, it's tough because, you know, especially when you have like your concepts for designs, there's a specific look you're going for, and just naturally over time, that could just go away. So you could have a, you know, classy design, but just because we're no longer leaning minimalist because we're going more maximalist and whatever, by default, it is outdated. And then it's, okay, do we need to rip something out? Do we need to add something in? How can we do that in a sustainable way? And then also convincing your clients, right? Clients, they don't, at least some of our clients, don't necessarily care what that process looks like. They're just rip it out, put something else in. I don't care how you do it. And you try to educate them to be like, well, if we toss this carpet, it's a Shaw material. They have a take back program. Why don't we do? Mm-hmm. I don't care. So, you know, you're kind of up against different challenges of trying to educate people on what their options are and hoping that they go through it. But also, like, as a designer, challenging yourself and your team to how are you going to design for the future?
Right. Yeah. And I think during the press conference, one of the speakers mentioned that with tile, it can be taken up and used for a completely different purpose, breaking it up and using it in asphalt or, you know, whatever it is, like a completely mm-hmm. different industry even, which is certainly better than tossing it in a landfill. So, but yeah, it's just such an interesting question. And, no, I appreciate the responses and I think they're really thoughtful and as much as you want to design something that's just going to be classic and enduring, and it may be for a certain time, but still, like, with that kind of longevity, I think it just takes more intentionality, I think, as you all kind of pointed to. So that's great. So as far as, like, you know, having been to Trisai, seen everything that you saw, what are your thoughts about ceramic tile as a product category now? I mean, has it changed? Do you think you're going to specify more tile as a result, or are you looking at those, like, as an option for certain projects or certain, you know, areas now, maybe more so than you did before? Nodding right. Heads, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll start. I came back being like, I'm just going to put the cards on the table. I was like, I'm never going to specify these giant marble slab looking tiles, right? I was just like, this is just not for me. I'm going to do whatever. And I was very excited about the hand painted tile we saw. And there was like one booth where they were making literally bricks, you know, very old, like 100-year-old method just in the booth, you know, and I loved all that. And I was more excited about that or the sort of more edgy design layers that we were talking about. But it's been interesting because I have thought about it way more than I thought I would have as I've traveled through different projects, looking at sites and stuff, thinking about there were just so many different things presented, and particularly the large format, which you guys have all mentioned, and a lot of the tools and techniques to cut and install that, or GigaChair, who kind of does this thing where they cut different sizes of the same tile so you can do like all these different arrangements. So I've definitely thought about tile a lot more in the last few weeks than I did going into the show. And I think that's like a lasting impression. Not only that what we talked about with the sustainability aspect, but even just as a design element. Whereas I think I was just one of many materials that I would think about all the time. Now it's kind of at the front of my list thinking, how could I employ some of these things that we saw?
Yeah.
One of the things that's stuck with me most is, and I apologize, I can't remember the vendor name, but I think it was the first one that our group visited, and they had applied their tile product to the front of their casework and like opened up the door. I could see how many hinges it took to mount it and what was needed in order to keep it working and to keep the door swinging. And oh, now I desperately want to design some monolithic island just all clad in a beautiful tile. But it was really interesting to see. I mean, obviously we were there and it was hot. So tile has an absolute use in certain climates, but mm-hmm. up in Canada, tile is generally relegated to commercial areas or within residences, you know, your bathroom or your kitchen or something like that.
Sure.
So I guess our market's a little more restrictive just because we're looking for warmer finishes underfoot or something like that. So love the thought of using more tile on walls as some sort of accent, you know, your backsplashes and things like that, and using some of these, the handmade looking tiles for the artisanal look.
Sure. Janae?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the multifamily sector, I definitely would say that a lot of tile would be used. I was very excited. I think for me, my one concern is, you know, because of COVID and client budgets being really tight or lately, you know, how construction maybe is waiting till the last minute to order things that they've known about for the last 2 years. My concern has always been, okay, we've specified this beautiful tile. It might be like a big focal point on a wall and it's 12-week lead time or something. And now it's too late to order and we need to get something that's local or it's maybe more expensive than something local. And so that's kind of my one concern, because you see it happen a lot, right? Where something beautiful that you've taken the time to design and it's not going to be within budget. It's not going to make it in time. And it's really frustrating. And I think, you know, that's just something that I debate on if I want to go down that rabbit hole and test it out, because there's beautiful tile there. And I definitely know for a fact there's ones that we would definitely be using. I still have to kind of report to my team all the things I found. I'm kind of waiting for them to show us the list of all the vendors, because I clearly didn't see all of them and Matt got to see the really cool ones. Just kind of waiting for that report to come through. But I guess I'm just kind of wondering like how realistic it will be just in this time right now, because budgets are tight and lead time is always an issue.
Sure. Yeah. And I had a conversation with Steve Clem at TBS Design, and he was talking about how I think there was a project that he was working on in India, I want to say, or Dubai, somewhere in the Middle East. And they wanted, you know, the natural stone, but they didn't have enough of it. And so, you know, using that large format tile that replicated the stone almost perfectly turned out to be like the better option because, you know, they had the consistency of the look. It was way less expensive, you know, so I think there are, you know, definitely applications where, you know, that might be the less expensive option and you can get exactly the look that you're looking for. And then too, just I'm curious, we had architects on the trip as far as like doing, you know, building envelopes and ventilated facades with tile, you know, which would sort of, I think, solve that whole life cycle thing, you know, as far as, yeah, that's going to stay for the life of the whole building, you know, and there are some performance benefits to that too. So I think that's kind of an interesting piece as well.
Very true.
Matt, you wanted to add something?
One thing, which I sort of mentioned before, what I was impressed with was all the technical support and sort of the tools and the installation stuff that they were, that was also on display and people were talking about. And I think that's something, and you mentioned the building envelopes too. I just think that has made very slow inroads in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I think if we had more of that, the contractor knowledge, the tools here, you know, the application, I feel like that's something that would make a huge difference. And I know we'll have the paradox of trendy versus timeless always on interiors, but I think seeing how powerful the material is and how the technology combined with the material can do so much, I'm quite hopeful actually that some of that can make inroads here and we can use it on the outside of buildings or in, you know, in all these ways that are, as you were mentioning before, Cara, like timeless, you know, to do column surrounds, et cetera. So I think that would be fantastic to see that much, not just the product, but also the technology, the know-how, the inspirational cases kind of getting a little bit more visible in the U.S. I think would help a lot.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point, Matt. All right. Well, as we start to land the proverbial plane here, do you have any, you know, maybe tips for those who plan on attending the event in the future, or, you know, particular memories that you want to share with the listeners, or unless this is a, you know, what happens in Italy stays in Italy sort of thing. I don't know. It wasn't that crazy. No, we had a lot of fun. But yeah, anything you want to share, like just kind of parting thoughts as far as your experience?
I guess I'll start this one. For someone like me who's so concerned about being jet lagged, because that was my biggest fear, walking around a zombie, and I don't drink coffee, so I didn't get to rely on that like most people did. Mm-hmm. I definitely think, you know, plan when you're traveling on the plane, plan when you need to be asleep or if you need to be awake. I scheduled with my boyfriend, like, I'm flying from here to here to then Italy. What am I doing while I'm waiting on the plane? He's like, you need to be asleep. And then when you get to, I think I flew into Germany. He's like, when you get to Germany, you need to stay awake, and you need to stay awake until you get into Italy and just stay up until dark. And I followed that routine to a T. And then coming back, you know, I did whatever I needed to do. And I actually wasn't jet lagged. It was really great. Nice. But I think that was more because of having a plan than just luck. Because I have the worst sleep cycle if I don't prepare. So if you're someone like me who's like, I'm afraid, that's my tip.
And that's good because, they are long days and you do see a lot. They pack a lot in. So,
Well, I'll say, there's the obvious wear comfortable shoes, but also be prepared to see people wearing non-comfortable shoes. The number of stilettos I saw tight, pointy dress shoes. Wow.
Yes.
So there's a lot of walking. There's a lot of standing. So you gotta be prepared for that. And if you're somebody who likes to layer, be prepared to hold stuff.
It was warm, unexpectedly so.
Unexpectedly warm. But the espresso helped keep me awake for sure. That just tap it straight into my vein.
Totally. I think, Janae, first of all, I think we're all going to be working for you one day, just watching the way you're approaching this, like very, very so I'm just going to put that out there. I'm ready. Tell me. But also, I feel like you do need to start drinking coffee for the next time you go to your side. Like, I think if you just start tapering up now, I think it's about half espresso shots all day, and then you switch to Campari in the evening to slow yourself down, and you can have a switch, and then you can fall asleep and get up and do it the next day. I agree. The fashion was like unbelievable of the people in the booth and working, and I felt really schlubby. I should have brought better clothes just to walk the fair. But also one of my favorite things was going to the ceramics museum in Faenza, which was something we did on our way to one of the factories. And I just thought that was an interesting perspective because we're looking at things that are thousands of years old or hundreds of years old. And then in the show, we're looking at that, that same technology just obviously boosted up for all of the industrialization. So it was really cool to have that context. And I think that's what's amazing about this show being in Italy. It's just like, this is such a part of the culture for thousands of years. So you see the most cutting edge stuff, but you also really understand where it came from and how deeply that kind of artisan tradition has informed it. It's a beautiful balance of extremes.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Matt. I love that museum experience as well. I mean, it was just really, really cool and a nice break from the trade show stuff. So very cool. Yeah, a lot of memories I definitely won't soon forget. And then also, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Chris Abadi and the entire team at Novità PR for organizing such an amazing trip for us, as well as the Ceramic Tiles of Italy Trade Commission for hosting us and their hospitality. So a big shout out to the Novità crew out there if you're listening. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. Matt, Cara, Janae, it's been so great having you here and reconnecting again. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and perspectives and memories of Trisai with us. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners out there, if you missed our coverage of the Trisai Tile Show, head over to the INS website at ins.design or check out our Instagram feed at insdesign for some highlights of the amazing products that we saw at the show. Well, thank you all for tuning in. And as always, be well, everyone.